These young brothers, they don't want to know about racism. Now, I'm a 45-year-old Puerto Rican. Notice I said Puerto Rican, not Puerto Rican. Okay?
The word, yeah, it is Puerto.
And I got a homeboy, and he was walking up the block, on the block, to a bunch of the brothers, and he said, so what up, my brother? And they told him, but you're Puerto Rican. What's that all about? There's a difference because we're Spanish? We got dark skin, and we come from Indian and African roots.
Well, see, you know that, you know, and some people ain't trying to know it, but I don't know. I can't explain it. I can't speak for them because I see people.
And who, I live on Long Island, man.
I see people who have a PhD in stupidology.
Yeah, this homegirl of mine says they're just plain ignorant, and ignorant is where they don't want to learn.
All right.
Stupid is where you can't learn.
Okay.
Good evening.
All right.
Hello.
Yes, hi. How you doing?
Good. You know, I'm listening to, you know, this evening's conversation, and, you know, I think, you know, you as a group facilitator should try to, you know, focus on the similarities between people and not the superficial, you know, skin differences. You know, we're all the same genetically. We all come from the same.
Not necessarily. If you need a kidney transplant, you can't get a kidney from a white person.
I'm saying chromosomally. You know, on the chromosomes. You know, we're all the same.
Hello.
Genetic.
Yes. Just let him finish his thought.
We all come from the same racial ancestry. We all come from Africa. That's a cradle of life, human life. I think that, you know, we should focus, especially this time of year, on the things that make us the same. We're the same psychologically, and you know.
Well, you know, the only, you know, problem. I understand what you're saying. The only problem with that is, first, I invoke the right of group facilitatorship.
Yes, yes.
But
you are the group facilitator.
Yeah. On a very serious note, though, first of all, they say that and you're not gonna like me lumping you in this group, but they say that the victor can always demonstrate humility. It is very easy for you to label those things as superficial and surface, and after a reasonable history of death and destruction, to kind of say, can't we all get along? And while
he says that, he needs to see the movie Bamboozled.
And I'm not trying to belittle what you're saying. However, what I am saying, again, I constantly say, let's look at this stuff in context. Because I have to take the posture of Fannie Lou Hamer, being sick and tired of being sick and tired. But what I'm really sick and tired of is the simplistic, naive approach that people have a tendency to take. You know, if you had to put yourself in a posture where you couldn't leave a scenario that would help you feel the burden that the average black person felt on a day-to-day basis, I doubt very seriously that, you know, in, say, a year's time, you would, you know, utter that same simplistic conversation about, you know, let's not look at it like that. And I challenge you and other people outside of the group. I really challenge you because there are a number of challenges that must be made to the people inside the group. Right. But those challenges must come from their peers. Right. So I challenge you to, if that is really what you seek, I challenge you first to educate yourself. Because,
well, I, of course, I'm an educated person. I like to think so anyway. I mean,
yeah, but what
you know, master's in psychology.
But
that's not
listen,
the point.
Listen.
Credentials aren't the point.
Listen.
I look at people on an individual level.
I don't want to challenge you. I've made a point of.
We feel the same thing.
All night I've made a point of trying to make sure our discourse was not a bumping in of the two ships. So let me finish my thought,
okay,
then I'll listen to you.
I don't want to interrupt you. I'm sorry.
Here's my point. You hold a master's degree in psychology.
Right.
That should have some value, some bearing on this scenario, right?
Of course.
My point to you is that your master's degree in psychology is virtually worthless in the realm.
It doesn't apply on the street.
Right. Let me finish, bro. It doesn't. It is virtually worthless in the realm that we speak of unless you're willing to set it aside. Now, you can always come back and get it.
Okay.
You're willing to set it aside and actually go into the scenario and put yourself into the experiment. And that is a crucial element. That empathetic state must be attained by those who are seeking to level the playing field.
Can I say something? Well, go ahead. Let the other guy say what he was going to say.
Yeah, go ahead, man.
Oh, me?
Sounds like the Mariah Carey syndrome to me.
Well,
that's how I feel about it.
Let me, because, you know, like, I've been switching things around. I've been hearing what a number of people have been saying. But first, let me say to the Caucasian gentleman that.
My name is George, by the way, guys.
Yeah, okay.
But he called you a gentleman.
I got a name.
Go to the ruling class, you know, and try to convince that the rulers of America, and try to convince them about what you're saying, because they don't share your point of view, okay? So go to them and convince them, you know.
I wish I could.
This is what we're talking about. See, you can say that, but really, majority of your people don't feel that way, okay? So. You know,
but
I'm glad you feel that way.
I'm glad you feel that way,
and I wish there were more of you. But unfortunately,
look at people as individuals.
All the institutions that are controlled, you know, versus by all, you know, white folks versus white males, they make the distinction all the time. They don't look at people as individuals. Hollywood doesn't look at black males as the way they look at white males. You know what I mean? The white male in Hollywood, he gets the beautiful white woman, he gets the beautiful Hispanic woman, he gets the beautiful black woman, he gets beautiful Chinese woman.
They let the Hispanic woman in.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So she might be too dark and too New Yorkish.
Well, yeah, I'm just saying, you know, in general. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So in multinational corporations, they don't feel that a black man should run their corporations, you know? They have virtually, you know, all white board of directors.
Because they don't want to be outdone.
They don't feel the way you do.
That is wrong. I mean, the person that can do the job should get the job, of course.
But that's not the case.
That's not reality.
I know it's not reality.
I want to know if this young white girl is listening, okay, the one that was 20 years old.
Yeah.
You know, and I understand where she's coming from because she, you know, her wife, she has white privilege, but it's to a minimum. Okay, because she's not a member of the ruling class.
And I tell you what, I have best friends.
And as you know, that the white people, you know, really, they really feel that they do have a birthright of white skin privilege. But if you're not in the right class, the right socioeconomic class, they have total disdain for you. You know, whether you're white, black, or you know,
I hear you.
Any color,
hey,
they have total
disdain
for you.
You know, I had a friend of mine, and I always said that, you know, he was a black guy, you know, and I gave the eulogy at his funeral, by the way. But anyway, I always said that I didn't think Charlie, you know, received the same rights and privileges that the rest of us did. Okay, but that wasn't me, though. I didn't put him, it wasn't me suppressing him, if you follow what I'm saying.
He was a black guy? He couldn't have been a black man?
He's black, man, you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, I know what you've been trying to say.
I got a question. Go ahead.
My Puerto Rican brother. I just want to say one thing. You know, I agree with what you're saying, but I disagree with you on one thing.
Hang on a second, you guys. I want to turn this radio off.
You're no more Spanish than I am English, okay? Your former colonial masters were Spanish, okay? Hello?
Yeah, we're still here.
Oh, okay. I hear that white line in the background.
No, I'm listening.
I thought I was speaking to myself. Yeah.
No.
But you understand what I'm saying.
I don't know your name, my
Puerto Rican brother.
I believe in the revolution.
It's only your former colonial master Spanish.
Edwin Starr said it in that song he made, Evolution, Revolution.
That wasn't Edwin Starr. That was the Temptations, Ball of Confusion.
Correct me, brother.
All right, I just did.
I was hoping you put it on.
Mira, hermano, yo tengo una pregunta para ti.
Okay, habla.
All right. Mi pregunta es, ¿qué pasó en la familia de... Excuse me, folks, let me just ask them this question. ¿Qué pasó en la familia de los puertorriqueños? Yo, cuando tú tienes un moreno, tú tienes un blanquito, tú tienes... La dos en la familia.
¿Qué I got pasó? All three of them, baby.
Oh, yeah.
I got them all. My great-grandmother was from England.
Okay.
She married herself a Mandingo brother. I was telling my mom about that.
Because you know what my question is? My question is...
Come out.
Yes.
Come out. Você fala português também?
Beg your pardon?
Você fala português também?
Português?
Também?
I'm limited there.
Oh, okay.
Wait, let me let this next crew in, all right?
All
thank
right.
you, thank you, everybody.
Okay.
Yeah, I think my dad was Portuguese, too.
Okay. Português, huh? All right, somebody had the radio on. All right, let me let the next crew in here. Are y'all like this?
A million magic crystals, painted pure and white. A multi-million dollars, almost overnight. Twice as sweet as sugar, twice as bitter as salt.
All right, we got some more folks coming in here. But I'm going to have to cut y'all loose, man. The phones are, like, flowing.
Yes.
Good morning, good
hello.
Morning. How you doing? How you doing, folks?
Oh, hi, I'm okay. This is Joel here from Manhattan.
Hi, Joel, how you doing?
Well,
okay.
I'd like to ask you, you know, before you had said that, many people, they call in and they say things and they don't do the research. And so
no, actually, there was a woman.
To the audience.
There was actually somebody else that said that.
Yes.
But one of the callers said that.
One of the things I heard you say that the word Jew came from the word jewelry.
Right.
Where did you get that?
Actually, I was looking up this word. This was several years ago. And this, I'm trying to remember the book. It had these derivatives and etymologies and all of this stuff. And someone, I was having a conversation with someone, and they were saying that the term Jew, J-E-W, was constantly being misused. And I said, well, what's the rest of the word? And they said, well, that there are two forms of it. Jewelry, like jewelry that you wear on your hand, came from merchants that were, in fact, making jewelry, right? And out of that came the term jewelry minus the L, right? So I went to this book. In fact, the guy owned the bookstore. And but that's where I got it from.
Because the as far as I know, the word Jew derives from the Judah, who was a biblical figure who lived before there was an English language, before there was any such word like jewelry, which only by pure coincidence is similar to the word Jew.
Well, I actually...
But I think that by putting it together in that way,
right,
which is inaccurate and ignorant, that it was an attempt to cast an aspersion as if Jews are always associated with money or jewelry, which is the typical stereotype throughout history.
Is there any truth to that?
Is there any truth to that?
Yeah.
I think there are people. There are people who have money and don't have money of all different nationalities throughout history, and this is a totally exaggerated stereotype as it pertains to the average person among the Jewish people.
Correct me.
Who is not a banker, who is not a a diamond cutter, who is not a jewelry mogul or anything.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but is it a safe assertion to make to say that there are people who are not those things, but they would not stop people from assuming that they had a relationship with people who were those things?
People are not those
things. In other words, let's make believe I'm a baker, right? Let's make believe I'm a baker. And there's someone next to me who is not a baker, but he hangs out with me all the time. And so when he goes places, people see him and they see him with me and they say to him, you guys are the bakers, right? And he doesn't correct them. He doesn't say, that's the baker. He lets them think that and say, yes, because it's prestigious for him.
So you're saying that people go around lying about their occupation?
No, I'm...
That Jews in particular lie about their occupation?
No. I think you're missing my inference. I'm using it as a hypothetical. But what I'm suggesting is that there is a certain acknowledgement to a, I say in quotations, power posture, right? And I'm saying that I have seen evidence, and again, I said this earlier in the conversation, not just in the Jewish community, but I've seen evidence of individuals allowing that loose association to be absorbed from other people so that they could enjoy the benefit of the association, when in reality, they have no relationship whatsoever to that ruling class.
But I think in this case, you were the one that was throwing the aspersion by claiming that the word Jew, inaccurately claiming and ignorantly claiming that the word Jew comes from the word jewelry.
Well, if you suggest that my assertion is incorrect, then I simply ask you for the evidence. Because I think that when that happens,
it's laughable.
Before you take the posture that I sense coming, if I'm wrong, then all you have to do is show me, and I'm a big enough guy to say, I'm wrong, and let me eat my words. There's no problem. There's no problem with me doing that, right? Is that fair enough?
Well, are you big enough also to admit that while the Israeli government has done some terrible things, that there are many Jewish people who are opposed to that policy and who are opposed to even founding an Israeli state on a Jewish supremacist basis?
Before we go to that point, could you answer my question first?
Well, what's your question?
My question was, is that fair enough? That if I make an error and you point it out and demonstrate it, that I can swallow that pill, is that fair enough?
Well, it's fair enough if you'll do it.
Yes, it is. Okay, now, could you just reiterate your question? I'll answer it.
Okay, now the other thing, is, which was really a question that came out of the other question, which was there was a woman on the phone and she was trying to differentiate herself,
right,
who is Jewish, from various Zionist factions,
right,
who are associated with running an oppressive state in Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And she's pointing out that not all Jewish people support those policies or a supremacist outlook towards other people, and in fact many of the most vociferous opponents of the oppressive Israeli policies and the nature of the Israeli state are Jews. Like,
all
if
right.
you go to any demonstration against the Israeli oppression of Palestinians, you'll see a lot of Jews there.
And here's my point. I said to her, those lines were blurred and some of those things were ambiguous, correct? Did you hear me say
well,
that?
Well, the lines are blurred by people who want to distort the reality and who want
exactly
to
my point.
Long racialistic lines.
Exactly my point, and that's exactly what I said.
But you were blurring the distinction.
No, in fact, the first guy who came on and he was upset with what I was saying, he was accusing me of, you know, kind of throwing racial stones and all this kind of stuff. And I said to him, we're talking about my reality, what I see and what I deal with and bump into. Right? And he doesn't get to define that for me. And my point to him was, you know, you need to come on this side of the fence. And if we have a conversation about this, fine. Then let's everybody come in, sit down, talk, and then let us prove or disprove what we're saying.
Mm-hmm.
So that was, you know.
Well, that's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to disprove some of the things that you're saying, which are overgeneralizations and which are of the character that get a lot of people hurt unfairly. And that disrupt building solidarity between people instead.
I disagree with you. In fact, this was another point that was raised, that and I kind of made a caricature of it, but I said if you go outside and you stand on the corner, all you have to do is say, all you have to do is say Jew. You don't have to say a good Jew, a bad Jew. You don't have to say anything. All you have to say Jew, and people will show up from everywhere. You know, almost in an attack mode, and I was questioning why that is. Why is it that there is such a sensitizing that you barely cannot say the name of a group without that occurrence?
Well, that's because of a fairly widespread animus and prejudice in society.
But I also use the example of the African-American community, and yet some of the affections and accolades that are afforded the Jewish group, somehow they run out of, and not just the Jewish group, whether they are Jewish or just about any other group you want, somehow the affection runs out just before they make it to our group. And again, when I'm pointing out my reality and what I have to deal with, it can't be invalidated by someone else saying that, no, that's not your experience, because I'm the guy that's living it. And that's what I meant when I said to that woman, Susanna, I said if we brought each of us brought 500 people into the room, that we would have this shift, and I suggested at the end of the polling, it might not be me who had to kind of reassess my perspective, because I was already looking at a flush reality from where I was standing.
Well, okay. I can't say what your personal experience
okay, we agree on that.
Is. However, as somebody who's doing a radio show and who's doing a radio show on an enlightened radio station, which a lot of people look to for a certain degree of leadership, it's your responsibility to go beyond what your own personal feelings and personal experiences are, to put things in a more historical context, and also to say that even when somebody has a personal experience, very often they see that personal experience through a prejudiced lens.
But the personal experience is relative to the group experience, and I think that's the validity of me being able to articulate my personal experience, because it's relative to the group experience. In fact, a number of the callers who came on edified exactly what I was saying about certain aspects of the conversation that I was relaying. And some of those places that were pointed out, for instance, by that first caller, where he said, no, this is not, I didn't even have to come and defend those postures, because other callers understood exactly, by virtue of us being in the same experience, even though we may not have been personal friends, we experienced the same thing. They came forward and said, hey, this guy is right. What he's saying is accurate. And that is the validity of me being able to articulate my personal experience.
No, but
I'm sitting here. Hello? Hello?
Yes?
Hello. Yeah, I'm sitting here looking at a dictionary, looking up the word Jew and Jewish and Jewry. I see no relation between the definition of Jew here and Jewry at all. That's etymology. Now, as far as Kamahu, I want to ask you a question.
Yes.
How many times are you aware that you have used the word hypothetical tonight?
Tonight? I think about four.
Exactly. That's about, well, I figured three, four, five,
yeah,
something like
yeah.
that.
Why
now,
is George back on?
Excuse me?
Why is George back on?
What do you mean, why am I back on?
Exactly.
What do you mean by that?
Okay. Wait, let's...
It's an open phone. It's a
okay.
Airway station.
Well, he,
so you can call all
excuse,
night.
Well,
no.
Wait,
excuse me.
If you folks raise your voice at each other, I will have to disconnect everybody.
But
it was
excuse me.
It was fair enough that he got off the line, was gone, and he got back in when he called back in. So
yeah,
you know, that's fair
exactly.
enough from my posture.
Exactly. That's the way the chips fall. So, what I'm about to contend is that since you have used the word hypothetical so much, you did not go the other two steps of the rational process by making a thesis and then an antithesis and then drawing a conclusion from that. You started with the hypothesis, and then you, in the next third sentence from that, it became a fact,
well,
which is not...
First of all, and I say this 1,000 times, part of the reason I use the part of the reason that I use the hypothetical is merely as a point of illustration. Now, other people's intellectual process, that's their business.
I understand that and I accept that. However,
right. but
not using it as your
But you're not letting me finish.
Fact.
You're not letting me finish. Those hypothetical, instantaneous hypothetical things that I say are strictly for that particular moment, only to illuminate a point. Because obviously, if I'm talking to a person, they don't get the point, I'm going to draw on an example. As far as going the other two steps are in the entire conversation. They roll themselves out during the conversational process. Thank you.
All right. Can I say, I'd like to hear what this lady... Hello?
Yes, I'd like to make a comment in reference to the black woman who said that she felt that there was no white skin privilege,
mm-hmm.
and that she didn't mind being followed around the store. I absolutely don't understand where she's coming from. Does she feel that if she were raped, that she would get the same consideration, the same justice? My husband brought up, has a white man ever been put to death for raping a black woman? I mean, that doesn't bother her either. I just don't understand where she's coming from. In terms of affirmative action, the main benefactors of affirmative action have been white women,
mm-hmm.
and it continues to be.
Mm-hmm.
So if she doesn't mind mm-hmm. this white skin privilege and she doesn't accept it, that's one thing. But and
well.
In terms of her also saying that Christians and Jesus was a Jew.
Hold on, let her finish
her talk. He was a person of color. And so I don't understand where she's coming from not bringing that up.
Well, I can't answer for her.
Yeah, well, I don't understand because what I'm saying, she doesn't get the same privilege when it comes to medical care, and I'm saying it no matter what status you are.
Right. No, I understand.
And
I understand what you're saying.
What pains me, and I certainly have never been on welfare, but as I observe in New York, the people that they put on out on the street to work and all,
mm-hmm.
When I come over to visit, I never see Caucasians out doing work.
and
they're getting the same welfare or whatever under the same program.
Right.
Where I understand that
exactly.
they have offices where certain people can go get assistance and they don't have to go through the same hoops that other people do.
Right. There was
another thing that bothers me, I understand in terms of people that are in jail that they've cut the educational programs for them.
Right.
In states like Vermont and Washington State, they still have that.
Mm-hmm.
So if she negates the status that we have in this country, no matter what economic status we are, then I just have a problem. I don't know where she's coming from.
All right, don't go away. There's also another gentleman who was on the line who was about to speak, but he didn't get a chance to speak yet.
Okay.
Yes. Hello.
Yes.
First of all, I think that there definitely should be a lot of focus put on the issue of who are the true Jews or Israelites or Hebrews. Is there a difference between those groups? Are they the same? You know, like, who are the descendants of Ham? Do the true Jews, Israelites, Hebrews, do they come from Cush? Where is Cush? Is it Ethiopia? Like, these are things that just need to be explored, and a lot of people are studying these things and exploring them.
This sounds like a group to me.
Yeah, like, but they need to be, like, explored on, like, who are they? Like, you know, you got philosophy Jews, Ashkenazi Jews. Maybe you can name some few others.
Rabbi Jews.
Yeah. So it's like, who are the true Hebrews?
Hmm.
Who are the true Jews? And
well,
they seem
to be as diverse as any other group. Actually.
Let him finish his thought.
Well, I mean, as diverse as what group? Because if you talk about a Muslim is just supposedly somebody who has a certain belief. There is no like origin of where they're from. Their culture. They understand that their culture is from Arabia, Africa, Asia. They don't seem to feel like they're an ethnic group. They're just a belief. So do Christians. Christians understand that they're a religious belief. They're not any group from any certain region. And as far as, like, race, you know, we're talking about race here. And, like, I'm from Sunset Park, which is not too far from Borough Park. Borough Park is a predominantly Jewish neighborhood. I think they're it's Orthodox Jews, and I believe they're the Ashkenazi Jews from Eastern Europe. And they're an ethnic group, right? But they're able to, like, have their systems of public services where they have their own, like, bus lines. Like, most people in New York know the buses have a blue stripe on them, and they're the B something or the M something. In their neighborhood, they have a green, like a marine green stripe.
But you know what this is starting to sound like? You remember, I don't know if you guys ever watched the old Star Trek.
Yeah.
When the guy had Frank Gorshin was on this episode, and he was painted half black and half white, and the other guy was painted half black and half white, and they were chasing each other through time, and they were vehement. And what's his name? Captain Kirk said, you know, what's the problem? You look exactly alike. And they freaked out. You know why they freaked out? Because one said, can't you see? I'm black on the left side of my face. He's black on the right side of his face.
Mm-hmm.
How stupid that looked.
Yeah.
And now I can actually say this, because much of these conversations are stupid. That's exactly what they are. But people have built temples. They have built Towers of Babylon on stupidity. I said, I used the phrase stupidology previously. I can't think of anything more stupid, which is why I don't participate in a relationship. But the articulation of past events is a far cry from participating in an event or an activity. And if we don't have this genuine, honest discourse to put this stuff on the table and put secondary, in a secondary posture, our embarrassment, our offense. People go to war over offenses and embarrassment. Mm-hmm. But we've got to have the courage to open up our mouths and say exactly what we feel. And then the other people have to have the tenacity to be able to weather the storm. Because before we can get to any kind of healing or true dialogue, you've got to let me express my pain. I've got to hear where you're coming from, and we both got to get over it and then move down the road. That's not what happens. Am I right? Stop me when I start lying.
No. I mean, to me, I don't. I think all these things really don't matter because, like, we're all humans. We come from the same origin, basically. You know, scientific beliefs, religious beliefs, they all agree that we come from one origin. But to me, it's just like you said, it's stupidity. But a lot of people are ignorant. And they speak over what they think is knowledge, but it's really just ignorance, you know? And it's like people need to come to grips with, like, how, okay, most scientists believe that man originated in Africa. So why when most scientists believe that humans are based on carbon, that's not argued. That's taught in any class. But when most scientists believe that the first human is from Africa and Kenya, they can't teach you this in school, you know? They can't come to grips with the first civilizations are African and symbols. Where do they originate from? And it's like, you know, it's like you said, like before, like where it takes two and it's institutionalized. The racism is institutionalized. Well, if they were to shed some light, maybe you can start breaking down these barriers where people can say, well, yeah, our people ain't stupid, you know. Our history isn't just slavery.
Well, let me tell you guys and everybody that's been listening and it has contributed to this conversation. I said last week we were talking, I think we were talking about the issue of love. And I said last week that I was going to create a group that wasn't necessarily out in the forefront or on the air, that it was going to be behind the scenes and we would have these discussions and at a certain point we would bring them out to the public. I think such a group can be created for this topic as well.
Definitely.
Any of you guys interested in participating?
Oh, definitely.
Oh, sure.
All right, we got two.
I'm already part of groups who always engage in these conversations daily.
Okay. Because I'm actually making group lists because I think this is my opinion. This is how it has to be done. But I don't want to be part of a so-called reconciliation or coming together when I know it's as phony as a $9 bill. I can't say $3 bill anymore.
Excuse me. Well, I think there's enough positivity in all communities among the people that are positive in those communities to really get together and build bridges and come together in a solidarity that's genuine, that's not just phony, that's not just talk, but that attempts to overcome all the attempts to use certain realities to negatively divide us against each other.
The only problem with that is that it's not happening.
Exactly.
That's really the only problem.
Okay, the problem is it's not happening because there are a lot of people that don't really want it to happen, that would rather nurse and even amplify old grudges that have become largely meaningless or that are obstacles towards creating a better world.
Yeah, but when you say psychology professor on Hugh Hamilton's program from the University of Michigan.
Excuse me,
I've been sitting here a long time, and this gentleman, I want to contradict him when he says there are no differences between people,
like,
because there are.
Old
Ron, there was a University of Michigan professor of psychology who was black and identified himself as black doing a study on black America in the 21st century. He had 1,000 respondents to his survey, and he's been going around the country with a huge staff. He was funded $8 million from the University of Michigan to do this study. And he himself made distinctions between black people, white people, et cetera, in the races. I tried to get on the air because Hugh Hamilton had Dr. James, I can't think of his last name. He calls the station all the time. Brilliant man. With,
oh, I know who you're talking about.
With a wrong-headed theory that there is no, that there are no races. So I never got to ask this Dr. Dawson, who will be on again on maybe in a month or so on Hugh's program. I hope I get a chance to and ask, are there, as a sociologist,
all right, the woman that was about to...
Yeah, I'm almost finished. I'm almost...
George, you are finished.
Okay. Wait. George, do me a favor. Just hold on 1 second. She had a question that because she wanted to challenge him, too.
Yeah, the gentleman that just mentioned about old grudges. I would say they're new grudges. I mean, there's constant things that are happening to people of color today. So when you say old grudges...
I meant in the sense of the new grudges and the old grudges. They all have to be addressed, but from the point of view of coming together and building a better world that's not based on exploiting each other and having a bunch of rich people setting us against each other, but really sharing and really coming together and using the positive sides of all these different cultures and nationalities, even religions, to advance that kind of unity.
But you can say that, but when I see every day the media, every single day, the programming that they're giving to young black people, young white people, where they denigrate every black leader, that doesn't happen to any group. And I sat and I watched the names of the producers and the directors and the movies and this barbershop. That wouldn't happen to any other group. And then you would have blacks coming forward saying it's nothing wrong with it.
Oh, well, that's where a lot of it is concentrated.
And it's been a campaign. And I said, I get as disgusted with the black people that carry out these caricatures as the white producers that are producing it. And they're producing it to demonize us. And if black people can't see it, then they're blinded. And it affects the young black people because they have no concept. I heard on the same station, and I hope that young person, what the program that you have on for young people, and a young black woman on there called herself a quadroon. Now that yes, she did in this day and time.
Wow,
she had no
that's
better
the 19th century.
She had no better sense than to know that during slavery this was a designation given to her by the enslavers.
That's true.
And so it was absolutely stupid to hear a black
even though she was
that's true too.
And they were supposed to be progressive. So I hope that program to bring a black woman on there and supposedly progressive and call herself a quadroon.
But you see that
an octoroon.
Yeah, you can't just say they're all progressive.
But you see that also lends to something else. There's also a separation between the generations because
they dumbed them down.
Well, I hear groups of young people. In fact, I've had groups of young people on here. I hear groups of young people who, in fact, are touting pieces, little corners, edges of a philosophy as a total body of knowledge. And I use this analogy. I said, listen, if you give the appearance of being a tiger and you go into an arena where they shoot tigers, right? And you don't have the strength of the tiger. You don't have anything except this little external appearance of a tiger. Do you know what's going to happen to you? And every time they sit there looking at me with this blank look like, what? You know? So I think that one of the other things that has to happen is a group like this has to get in the room with the group of young people and equally be able to hash it out, because sometimes we get around the young people and we tiptoe. We tiptoe and we're just like so delicate, but we need to drop the stuff.
Well, anyway, I would like someone in terms of the programming, and a lot of young black people and white people watch this mad TV, and look at the skits that they do, and they denigrate us as a people, black people as a on that program,
right.
That young black people watch. And watch and see who the producers are.
Okay.
And then they throw in Quincy Jones.
So maybe it's time to boycott these things.
Yeah.
Well,
maybe it's time as a people to say, if this is nonsense and we know it's ridiculous, then why do we waste our time trying to debate it? You don't debate something that's obviously
I'm bringing it up because this is what's fed to young black people, and I see now just how uninformed they are.
Right. Folks, I have to call time on this group.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
How about taking information down? You say you wanted groups to speak?
Let me give you my email.
Okay.
And you contact me that way.
Okay.
The email is Dred Scott Press, the number one. DREDSCOTTPRESS, numeral one, at AOL.com. And don't forget, I have a birthday party going on Friday. Everybody's invited. This is, I'm approaching 8 million times saying this. And pretty soon, you won't have to hear it anymore. But it's over in Paterson, New Jersey.
The 2nd of January.
Right. Well, actually, Friday. The party is Friday, so that'll be it. So
I'd like to meet that 20-year-old young woman.
Well, if she's listening, maybe you guys can meet on my show next week. But I have to let this line go.
I hope so. Good night.
Can you please give that email again before the show's over?
Okay, sure.
Okay, thank you.
Good night.
Right.
Bye.
Thank you very much. Ooh. All right. Where were we? Man. All right. This is the last line coming in. Here we go. Good morning.
Hi. How you doing?
All right. Let me let a couple of more people in.
Okay.
All right. Good morning.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. I'm still here.
Good morning.
How you doing? I've been listening to your show.
Wait. Did somebody else come in?
Yeah. Good morning.
Okay. Good morning.
Hello?
Yeah, I just let a third person in.
Hello?
Please make sure your radio is off.
Yeah, I turned off.
Somebody's still on. I hear me talking to me.
Oh, not me.
Well, everybody check your radio, or I have to kind of zip the line here.
Can I just say one thing, but I think...
Not because somebody's not checking their radio.
Uh-huh.
So if they don't... Oh, that's... it's still there. All right, I got to let this line go. All right. Da-da-da-da-da-da. Sorry about that, guys. Okay, let's bring in some more folks. Good morning.
Yes, good morning.
And good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
And good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hello.
All right, and there's the last one. Good morning.
Yeah. Hello?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, here we go. I'm listening.
I'd like to just say that this argument is entertaining to some degree, but I think the issue goes very deep. Simply, for example, I argue with my friends, generally white and educated black friends, when they always say, the black community has this disease, or they are responsible for a large number of crimes. So then when I cite to them the high amount of disease, considering numbers of certain white groups, it becomes a racial issue. You follow what I'm saying? You can sit in a room and hear that blacks get AIDS because they're black. I mean, literally, that's what it amounts to when other people are discussing the statistics. And we, because we want to be accepted so bad, our intellectuals, we generally sit there and take it because then we're hustling funds. For example, you can hear black people, or people, I don't like that term, or people of other backgrounds say, yeah, we need money for AIDS because our community is dumber than white people, and that makes us more subject to the virus. So then the whites feed us money in our community so they can feel better about themselves. You follow what I'm saying?
I'm listening to you, brother.
Okay. Now, I want to go into another thing simply is that this discussion about Jews and blacks and whatnot, if the older Jews, yes, I can honestly say they shared some kind of empathy with us because at the time they were not declared white back in the 30s, 40s, and 50s. And as soon as they were declared white, we ended up with people like Howard Stern, Woody Allen, Norman Lear. You follow what I'm trying to say? As soon as they were allowed the opportunity to no longer be listed as minority, they took it upon themselves, in the case of Howard Stern, to hire a black woman and pay her and make her a millionaire simply for sitting there telling black people that they're nothing.
You know what? I have to tell you, every time I look at that sister, I want to cry.
Oh, and she's a good-looking sister,
Listen,
too.
Every time, and not only that, she's an intelligent sister.
Right, yeah.
And I sit there and look at this woman, and I listen to some of the stuff that this guy says to her. I can't watch it. I cannot watch it.
Here's one said, oh, God, I miss slavery because that would be the only time I could get laid by a sister.
Oh,
and she's sitting there, a kick. kicking. And you know, she tries to pretend she has style and class. She spends a lot of money trying to buy culture. But the fact is, our black community, our black intellectuals, are so busy hustling to get in on the on this BAI thing that we don't even speak about issues that are pertinent or relevant to our cause. The thing is that, you know what, you listen to her show or his show.
No, I don't listen.
Let me make one point. Black sports figures, Don King, and a couple of politicians I don't want to name. Oh, you the bomb, man. Yeah, you say it like it is. Hey, it's easy to say it like it is if I'm talking about your black ass. Let me hang up and listen, man.
No, wait. If you hang up, you're going to make me lose the line.
Okay.
Let me let somebody else speak.
Okay. Young lady.
Hi. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Very well. I'd just like to say I heard the last group of callers, and I just think, I don't know how sincere, it seems to me to be a newfound trend in some regards of blacks and Jews. The reason why I said if it's sincere is that there's an early morning program I listened to recently, Peter Noel with a Rabbi. It's on AM radio.
Yeah, no, I didn't know.
And, end of the dial.
Yeah, right, on AM radio. And no. The reason why I bring it up is because you had a number of callers that discussed blacks and Jews, Jews and blacks. And I think that's such a hot topic now. You know, at one time, you know, I'm African-American. One of your callers, I think I know him, Joel, he has appeared with me in court with a group of friends. I've gone through a very lengthy housing court case. And I have to say he was very sincere in appearing, supporting me, didn't really know me that well, but he was out there. And I've seen him also uptown at National Action Network, therefore, you know. But I have to say the person I have fought and the people I've dealt with in the court system happen to be Jewish people. I try not to clout my head with being prejudiced, but when you look at, I don't know, if they're under 40, this, I don't want to get into stereotypes, but this insensitivity.
It's the age thing, sister. Go ahead and talk.
Do you know what I'm saying?
It's the age thing.
You know.
Because they want to disassociate themselves from the past.
Right.
They don't even acknowledge their own Holocaust, most of them.
This is true. And then what I think is that they almost project and put it on us. Because if you look at the dynamics of what happens in housing court, maybe even criminal court, they're mostly people of color.
No, let's deal with black people, because people of color own stores in my neighborhood. Black people don't. Go ahead.
Well, no, I also see Latinas, Latinos.
You know, a lot of people use the word prejudice and racism, and they describe a black person of being a racist. Now, a racist is a person who can influence.
And put you out.
Right. Now, if a black person can influence whether or not a European or a Jewish person can have a house or a loan or anything like that, then I can say they're a racist. But until that time, they can't do that.
Well, I don't know if I completely agree with some of these, what I would label newfangled definitions.
Well, I think we need to come together. That's what I just like to say. Final analysis, I'd like us to come together.
Well, there's a thing between rich and poor.
We did come together against the Klan years ago, but now the very white Jewish promoters on the show say we should get the Klan after black people. Listen to Steve, what's his name? Steve, the guy on ABC. Oh, God. He sits there and says, we should get, what if we let the Klan? Not knowing that the Klan hated him, Italians, homosexuals, white women, as much as they hated black people at one time. Only thing is that we were easy to spot. And
folks, I think we're coming up on the last of this, and it's obviously a hot topic, which I think is hotter than it should be, but...
I don't open up the door other than you. You're the only cat. The other one, they got all these brothers trying to be intellectuals and international. In the meantime, they're getting choked in the butt. All right.
Oh, man.
Later.
All right. Good night, everybody.
Have a good night.
Olatunji, and for the best in African, reggae, ska, Latin, and R&B. Keep tuned to the Midnight Ravers of a listener-sponsored non-commercial radio, WBAR 99.5 FM. Midnight Ravers, where every show is a special.
Also give you that website one more time. Don't forget, this Friday, WBAI's Kamau Kalfani, that's me, I will be celebrating the anniversary of my birth, the arrival of me, in Paterson, New Jersey, 240 Broadway at the Masonic Temple. And for those of you who are taking public transportation, the 171 bus comes from the GW Bridge. We'll let you off right there. You can get out and walk less than a half a block. Just use the White Castle as your landmark, and you can do that. You can get directions by calling area code 973-247-9108, 973-247-9108, or emailing me at dredscottpress1@aol.com. dredscottpress1@aol.com. And, well, I think that's enough. You've been listening to the extended version of Underneath the Learning Tree. We've been here for 4 hours. Well, almost a few minutes to go by. And in the snowstorm, so I hope you enjoyed yourself. And I'm going to let Miles take us out. So enjoy. We'll see you next week. That's right. Keep your boxing gloves. Don't be shy. Come to the center of the circle and throw it down. Period. All right. Peace.
Barigani, this is Ilombe Brat, inviting you to tune into Afrokaleidoscope, an analytical program of news, views, reviews, and previews concerned with political, social, cultural, and economic affairs impacting on the Pan-African world and its peoples. Thursdays between 9 p.m. and 10 p.m. on WBAI 99.5 FM Pacifica Radio in New York.
Up next, Burn, Baby, Burn.
We live in a sick and dying empire that is desperately clutching at its symbols.
When I leave, you remember I said with the last words on my lips, I am a revolutionary. And you're going to have to keep on saying that. You're going to have to say that I am a proletarian. I am
the red, white, and blue spit on you.
Put on hold, the bold, lose the soul. 34 obedience. Have you pledged allegiance to a piece of cloth? That's all the way I feel. Well, I'm going off to surf. Cause the system works, jerk. My people, the people, all around the pig work. Tell me I'm wrong, but that's my right in this writing. The Constitution, no, that's just an illusion. Huh, fuckers trying to change and rearrange. They say that I'm free, but they still have a strange way of showing it. But I'm blowing the cover. The red, white, the blue, but the black for the brother. And I'm the lover of this flag like many others. Take the same turn like me. They yearn for the flag.
Never will, Brownsville, boogie down South Bronx, yeah.